Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So we were going to chat to Sean Sachs about something completely different, but that news somehow has faded into the background, thankfully. Sean Sachs is a senior researcher at NGO Monitor, and we wanted to talk to him about the response, perhaps not yet much of a response, but what we can anticipate from some of the international organizations. Sean, a very good morning. Thank you for joining us again. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. Good to be back. And how are you?
I am well, thank you. It's going to be interesting to see what reaction we start to see, given the fact that this is a known terrorist. Only his bodyguard was killed as collateral damage in the event. It's very hard to claim that there were children in schools and hospitals with him in the shower. So it's going to be a fascinating response that we see. Has there been any yet?
So from the major international NGOs and human rights groups, it's a little too early even for them. And while a lot of people would often want to be critical of this lack of response, the truth is it's very early days. It's only happened a few hours ago. We're not expecting anything at the moment. But even looking ahead, like you said, this was a very pointed strike. There's very little room to maneuver from a human rights point of view. The best that people could come up with, and there has been a little bit of this already, but mainly from the fringes, not from the mainstream NGOs. They're talking about the fact that this was, yes, an assassination, and it was in a foreign country. So it was technically an illegal act of assassination, one country to another, and all of that. But there again, Israel hasn't taken responsibility for this attack. We don't even know the details of the attack. There's stories that he was shot, there was a bomb, there's missiles. All of this is unclear. And I think the attempt to say that, well, Israel is wrong is a little bit of a desperate plea from some of the more radical organizations.
Carry on.
I was going to say, the more interesting response, or importantly, lack of response, is if we go back to the Saturday afternoon attack on the Golan that killed those 12 Druze children, which was absolutely outrageous. What was more interesting there is the same lack of response from a lot of these major international human rights organizations and NGOs who had nothing to say about that. And I think they already set the tone for themselves that you're not going to respond to the murder of 12 Druze children by a Hezbollah missile. You probably shouldn't respond to the death of Ismail Haniyeh.
But somehow it won't. It doesn't work that way, because the open hypocrisy at a time that we've seen throughout this conflict and for many years before is not something that seems to bother anybody. You know, I was talking to that point about an attack in another country. Yesterday there was a tweet. Somebody tweeted at me to say that, well, you know, the Israel has got absolutely, considering it's occupying the Golan Heights, it's got absolutely no reason to attack a sovereign country, Lebanon, and bomb Lebanon. And my response was, hold on a minute. Lebanon isn't exactly sovereign, given the fact that the Hezbollah are actually occupying that. And does this mean that there should be no justice for 12 children because they happen to live in an area that you've decided Israel doesn't have ownership or claim to? Like the mental, the gymnastics around it is absolutely bizarre.
Yes, and I have an explanation for that you probably won't like, but I hope it'll leave you and some of the listeners satisfied. Exactly like you said, that people are coming up with bizarre mental gymnastic ways of saying, well, Israel is responsible and Israel did something wrong. But people often forget, let's start with the fact that Hezbollah is in violation of international law and the UN Security Council because of its activities over the Litani River in southern Lebanon.
Mm.
But people will justify this and get around with it. And you mentioned open hypocrisy. And here's the answer that that many of us have looked at is many people on the anti-Israel side have adopted the mantra of human rights and justice. They believe that human rights and justice is on their side. Even if it is warped justice, even if it is a warped sense of human rights, by adopting that mantra, anything they say and do is justified, even to the point of warped hypocrisy. Israelis can be murdered because Israel has done something wrong, and the people who justify the murder have justice and human rights on their side. Therefore, pointing out their hypocrisy doesn't do anything to them. They don't care, because in their minds, we stand up for human rights and democracy. Therefore, they can be hypocritical. They cannot care about Israelis. They cannot care about Israeli children, because human rights and justice don't extend to the other side, and they can be as hypocritical as they want, because they're perpetually right. They're always right, and therefore the other side is always, always wrong. And therefore, if something bad happens to Israel and Israelis, they're deserving of it. And even the death of Ismail Haniyeh, a horrible individual, that has to be seen as, well, that is an attack on justice and human rights. Whereas the murder of Israeli children, well, that can be overlooked or justified.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how this does play out, because if Israel is always the perpetrator and always wrong, and we saw that when Iran attacked Israel the amount of drones and rockets, people who would ordinarily stand for democratic values, for gay people, for gender equality, for freedom of speech, all of a sudden, because Israel was on the other side of it, were finding themselves shrilling for Iran. So it became quite uncomfortable. And I'm anticipating the same kind of thing here, where there is going to be, again, a mental gymnastics in order to maneuver people into a position that somehow Israel can still be viewed as the perpetrator here.
Absolutely. And I think that is something we need to anticipate. And even more so, looking ahead into the days, weeks, and months ahead, are the same people who last week were calling for restraint and holding back, are they saying the same things right now?
Mm.
Maybe, perhaps the Iranians should be restrained right now. Hezbollah should be restrained right now. The anti-Israel sides, the militants, the terrorists, maybe they should be restrained right now. That's the language we heard last week. So that'll be more interesting.
I think what is going to happen, and what I'm anticipating, is silence. I think we are going to hear almost nothing from many of these organizations, who are going to take a wait and see attitude. If it does move to another stage and there is some kind of a reprisal from Iran or Hamas, that's when we might start to see public statements. I don't think we'll see much before that. That's how, if I can anticipate behavior based on past experience, I think we're going to see almost nothing.
I agree with you, and that's what I said. If you didn't speak out when 12 Druze Israeli children were murdered, you have no right to speak out now.
That is where we leave it. It is 8:42. How do you think people are going and organizations are going to respond? I can tell you that when the story broke the other day about the alleged torture of a Palestinian or Hamas prisoner in the Israeli prison, I was inundated with direct tweets, people pointing it in my direction, saying, have a look, where's your comment on this? Why are you quiet? Even though I wasn't quiet on it. But that was what I saw. Do I expect to see many people tweeting at me about this? I don't think so. I think it's going to be quiet. What do you think? It is 7:43. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.